A very good evening. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Ksuba Zayin Ches, Ksuba 78a, pagination is 155. We're starting a new perek, and we're dealing with a case of a woman who has assets. She has fields, for example, and we are aware that these fields, in the case of a marriage, are going to be somewhat controlled or influenced by the husband, in that although the property itself in principle belongs to the woman, but the husband is allowed to enjoy the fruits of the field, the fruit that's generated from the field, the income. So that if there was an apartment building and there's rent coming in, so during the marriage, the husband would be receiving the rent, and the woman would still retain rights intrinsically to the property, such that if the woman should die before the husband, then the husband would inherit her, and then he would own the field itself and its building, etc. If, however, this marriage ends with the death of the husband, then the woman goes free from the marriage, and she would retain the rights to her property, and at that point, to its income as well. Likewise, if the husband would divorce her, she would again go free from the marriage, and the fact that she owns the property intrinsically as hers would play itself out at that point, that she would own the property as well as its income. The question which our Mishnah endeavors to address is, what happens if the woman tries to sell these assets, case number one, before Kiddushin, case number two, after Kiddushin but before Nisuin, and case number three, during the regular marriage, after Nisuin? She's totally married and she tries to sell these assets. This obviously is quite related to the concept of a prenup, some sort of intentional agreement by which she could retain rights to her assets, the assets that she had as she was going in, and try to preclude the husband or give herself more rights in terms of the ability to sell it, or even more far-reaching in some cases, in the case of her death and the husband still alive, normally he would inherit her. Is there any way that she could exercise greater rights on her property and actually try to have her property, let's say, go to a child of a previous marriage or to other family members from her side of the family? So let's see the Mishnah. Ha'isha shenaflu lanechasim ad shelo tesaris. A woman who has assets that came to her before she gets kiddushin, before anything happens. The wording here is shenaflu la, that it fell to her. It would seem that someone died and she was the inheritor. So she has assets. Moda Beis Shammai u Beis Hillel, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree, even though they'll argue in a different case, but in this case it's clean. Mocheres v'noseness v'kayim. She could do whatever she wants because there is no husband yet in the picture, and that's clear. Case number two, Naflu la mishenes arsa. If we're dealing with a case where she already has accepted Kiddushin, so as far as being a married lady, she definitely is. She's an Eishes Ish. But the husband has not yet ascended to the point of being allowed to benefit from her property. And therefore, it's not quite within his claim. So Beis Shammai Yomrim Timkar. Beis Shammai say she could still sell because the husband does not yet have a claim. Beis Hillel Yomrim Lo Timkar. Beis Hillel say she's not supposed to be selling. It's improper. It's incorrect. The husband is on standby regarding this property. Nevertheless, Elu ve'elu modim, Beis Hillel will agree she'emachra v'nas nakayom, that if she did sell it, the sale is binding. Let's skip about four lines, and then at the end of the line, we have the third case. Naflu la mishanises. If we're dealing with a case that she has assets after she is totally married, chuppa, sheva brachas, yichud, the whole process has been done. She's a totally married woman. They're living together as husband and wife, and now she tries to sell the property that's fundamentally hers. Elu ve'elu modim, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree, she'emachra v'nasna, that if she tries to sell it or gift it, she'habal motzi miyad alekuchos, that the husband can take it back. It's his. In halacha, this is developed with the possibility that maybe the buyer is on standby, so that if the husband were to die first, then it becomes the woman's, and then they have a claim that they purchased the principal. They fundamentally own the property. If conversely, she dies first, then the husband will have to refund the money that they paid for this purchase if the money is recognizable, if it still exists, if he could identify it in her possession, he would return that money. So we have these three cases: before Kiddushin, after Kiddushin, but before Nisuin, and after Nisuin. And it's clear that the husband, once he's in the picture, has some degree of influence regarding the possibility of her selling the property. Which brings us to the topic of prenup. Is it possible for her, walking into the marriage, to somehow eliminate the control of the husband regarding a specific property? Now, we could probably construct all kinds of contracts and conditions, etc., but the Gemara here introduces a very simple concept called Shtar Havrocha, where she can cause the property to flee from the husband so that he does not have influence on this property. And this concept is predicated on a principle that even though the woman technically owns the property, if the husband does not appreciate that she owns the property, if he thinks she doesn't, then it's not in his intent to be included in his assets, and he ends up not getting it. On Amud Beis, the last three lines, Hahi Itza, there was a woman, Deboidit Havrachinu Lenechsa Migavra. She wanted to cause her property to flee from her husband. Kasvinu Livrato, she wrote it as a gift to her daughter. Intzava, she then got married. Viigarsha, and she ended up getting divorced from that marriage. Asoy Lekameder of Nachman, she came in front of Bezdin. What she wanted was that she could take the property back from the daughter and claim, I never really gifted it to you. The problem with that is that if she never really gifted it to the daughter, so then her husband, the ex, has the right to turn around and said, well, if you never really gifted it to her, then I'm entitled to the produce from all those years that we were married. Conversely, if we acknowledge that it was a good gift, then the daughter has the right to turn to the mother and say, listen, I'll be a good daughter, and I'll be glad to invite you to my property in a mother-daughter suite. I'll give you a place to live by us, but it's my property. Let's say she already married, my property with my husband, and you could be our guest. And this woman obviously wanted much more than that. She wanted a refund on the gift. And the halacha indeed is that there is this concept called shtar havracha, where simply writing it to the daughter will take it away from the husband, even though it is understood to us that she's not really gifting it to the daughter, she's only getting it out of the husband's reach. In the wording of Rashi, v'hodiyah le'edim, she would notify the witnesses when she gives the gift, that she's not really giving the gift, ela la'avriach, just to get it out of the reach of the husband. Tosfos says, hadavar nikar, it's obvious, she doesn't even have to tell the witnesses, shalaniskavna ela la'avriach, she's simply trying to get it out of the reach of the husband. And Abaye explains the principle, as we mentioned, asa'um kinechosim she'en yeduim labal. If there are properties that the husband doesn't know about, there is this idea that he may not actually have rights to those properties. This principle is so far-reaching that the Pischei Choshen in Ishus Ches, footnote Mem Gimel, discusses pitsuyim, different types of reparations. And the woman received reparations, let's say from Germany because of the Holocaust, and she started writing out tzedakah checks. She starts writing out checks to Holocaust memorials. And then the husband says, one second, you just received money. It should be like an inheritance. You should have to buy property, and I would be able to reap the benefits of that property, even though the property is yours, the original money is yours, but I should be able to reap the benefits. And the Pischei Choshen discusses to try to identify what anticipation there was here for her to receive this money, what level of commitment was there, and in essence, whether it was anticipated, whether it was predictable, and the husband would have a claim to it, or whether these are finances that are out of his reach, and her sale or gift would actually be valid. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.